Welcome to the pre-post film review. I'm Matt Stevenson.
And I'm John Asquith. If this is your first time for listening to the pre-post film review, the way we do things here is we talk about a movie over two different time periods. The first being a discussion after we've watched a trailer for a film. And we'll sort of analyze the trailer a little bit and maybe make a few predictions, talk about expectations for the movie. And then we see the movie itself and come back and record again. And this time we talk about the movie itself, and that's a full review with lots of spoilers in it. We jump straight into spoilers. So if you haven't seen the film, then be mindful of that. So that's how it works around here, and hopefully you enjoy that. This week, this episode, we're going to be talking about the new, not Harry Potter film, but Wizarding World, I guess you could say, film, Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. So let's go on to our trailer thoughts.
You've known for 24 hours that an unregistered wizard set magical beasts loose in New York.
Yes.
Where is this man?
So, you're the guy with the case full of monsters, huh?
News travels fast.
Mr. Scamander, do you know anything about the wizarding community in America? We don't let things loose.
Hey, Mr. English guy, I think your egg is hatching.
You wiped his memory, right? The no magic.
The what?
No magic. The non-wizard.
Sorry, we call them muggles.
I don't think I'm dreaming.
I'll give it away.
I ain't got the brains to make this up.
Something is stalking our city. Wreaking destruction.
All right, here we are, Matt. We've just watched the third and final teaser, I believe, for Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them.
Mm-hmm.
We're both holding our wands and ready to go. So I'm just curious what you think. I feel like there's been a lot of sort of advertising for this film.
Yeah.
In terms of like all the trailers have been quite long, and I feel like there's TV spots around and lots of advertising. What are your sort of general thoughts on this? And maybe also if you want to briefly go into your, Harry Potter history and where this might sit with all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, sure. Well, in terms of Harry Potter, I haven't really read the books. I think I may have read the first two years ago. Not that I didn't like them. I just sort of never got around to reading anymore. But I have pretty much liked all the movies, or at least the later ones. The third is in particular my favorite. I just remember that being a bit of a peak in the series, but I've enjoyed them all. Thought they were... Yeah, surprisingly good for a sort of adaptation of a children's book that went on for so many installments. They were pretty successful as a whole. So in terms of this, I'm kind of a bit mixed about it. I'm not quite sure how I feel, to be honest. Initially I was very against the idea. The book that it's based on isn't even really a book. It's like an encyclopedia of weird animals, right? Like, that was sort of some weird spin-off to make money off the Harry Potter license. There was no narrative or anything. So I was actually quite annoyed by the idea of them making this into a full feature film when it first happened. But having said that, watching at least the first few trailers have kind of got me a little bit more excited. Like, I like that it's a period film. And even though I don't like that it's like another Harry Potter film, I like that it's not another Harry Potter film, if you know what I mean. Like, it's not the same characters. They've really divorced it from that world. Yep. And at least from the trailers, it doesn't look like there's any recurring characters, nothing other than the fact that there's magic and there's like the same spells or whatever, presumably. There's no direct links to the Harry Potter films, which I actually really like. And I really like the cast. I like Eddie Redmayne, and I like, what's his name? Colin Farrell. Mm-hmm. And I noticed the villain was played by Ezra Miller, who I really like. I've liked most of the things I've seen him in. So the cast is, I think, is pretty strong. I will say that this trailer did seem a bit more spoilery than any of the others that I've seen. Not in necessarily in sort of terms of plot development, but it just kind of, you saw way more of the world and sort of what happens. And it did seem way more CG heavy than some of the others. Like, I don't remember the Harry Potter films being this crammed with CGI. Maybe it's kind of a symptom of it also being a period film and they're using a lot of CGI enhancement to make things look like they're older. But there seems to be loads of big set pieces with lots of explosions and things transforming into other things, and just feels very, very CGI, which I don't really like. So I guess I would kind of say, to sum all that up, I'm slightly optimistic, but I'm not sort of holding my breath for it to be anything great. I think it'll probably be fun, and I'm more positive than I perhaps would have expected, but I'm not expecting great things. What about you? How do you feel, and what are your Harry Potter experiences?
Like you, I really enjoyed all of the Harry Potter films. I haven't read the books either, although I really want to.
Yeah, same, actually.
I'm keen to go through them all. I think I broadly agree with you. Again, the original idea I was not keen on. And most of the trailers, actually, I haven't liked. And including this one, I don't really like. I don't think any of the trailers have been particularly good.
Actually, I would agree with that. Yeah, exactly right. To just jump in. But I totally agree. Like, when I said before about it not being spoilerish in terms of the plot, that's such a... I mean, we're almost contradicting ourselves because a lot of the times we chide trailers for giving away too much plot. But I totally agree. I genuinely don't have a sense of what this story is about other than old mate rocks up to New York and fucking magical creatures get free. Like, is that... Yeah. I'm assuming there's more to it than that, but that's...
Yeah.
The only thing that's kind of made clear in these trailers.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. And I think, you don't want it to spoil everything, but what... And obviously they're very different stories, but what was so good about Harry Potter and originally selling that is, like, this core idea of, like, this boy finds out he's a wizard and goes to, like, magic school or whatever and then has these adventures. That's a very clear point of entry, I think. And the trailers for Fantastic Beasts don't have anything like that. Even though we're following Eddie Redmayne's character, it seems like he's, like, a bit eccentric or quiet or nervous or something. And so there's no... I don't get the sense that we're with him on a journey. It feels like he's just a character amongst many. And I'm a bit worried that therefore the movie's going to be like... I know it is made for people who've seen Harry Potter, but I don't really like it when franchises assume, well, everyone's seen this, so we'll just chuck you straight in here and the rules kind of are already established and all that. Like, I think it would be... I'm worried that we won't be experiencing that wonder with anyone in this film. The wonder of magic. And I know it's a different film, but I think that's really what draws a lot of people in. And this third teaser looks like lots of fighting and magical politics almost. And I'm not...
It's like prequel, Star Wars prequel.
Yeah, territory. A little bit, yeah. So that I'm worried about that. But at the same time, like you said, the cast is really good. David Yates directed all the later Potter films.
Which were pretty good.
And they were, some of my favourites for sure. And J.K. Rowling was very heavily involved in the script.
Yeah, she just bodes well.
And she, is pretty good at handling the Potter sort of world at this point and hasn't ruined it yet. So that stuff gives me faith. And I'm hoping that they're just kind of weird trailers that are hard to put together or something. Yeah. I don't know. It just looks like lots of explosions in New York and then people that want to not not have muggles around or something. It's just very... It should be a lot clearer than this, I think.
Yeah, you're so true. And it's like... That was almost... I mean, I guess that towards the end of the Harry Potter series, it got quite war-y and CGI heavy. But I feel like the first, you know, four or five were very contained, and there was like... small moments, or the climax involved some sort of grand magical thing happening that was always full of wonder and surprise. Yeah. Whereas this is just, I guess it ties back into like what I was saying about there being too much CGI. It just looks like there's like endless parades of giant dragons and crazy monsters, like enormous things that are happening all the time. There's no like build to like one big amazing set piece. I mean, that's that's the impression the trailer gives. Whether that's the case or not, I suppose we'll find out. But
I agree.
It's a bit worrying.
Mm. Yeah, so I don't know.
You talked me down. Now I'm less excited
about it. Yeah, I know. I feel bad. I am, you know, keen to see it, and my my wife is a massive Harry Potter fan. So we'll probably even go to. They're doing midnight screenings here.
Oh, cool.
We'll probably go to one of those, which will be fun, you know, and. Should be a good atmosphere to see it in. And just feel the disappointment in the room if it's not good.
Yeah, the awkward silence when the credits roll at the end. I'm interested about that, actually, given that Soph's such a huge fan. Is like, what is her view of the film? Like, is she super excited, or is she like cautiously optimistic, or is she annoyed that they've made something out of such a insubstantial book?
I think she's cautiously optimistic, and because we've been chatting about it, and every time there's a trailer out, we sort of talk about it and stuff. And she's roughly on the same page. She's excited because it's more of that universe, but the trailers themselves don't sell anything particularly that interesting, I think. Other than explosions in New York. I mean. I don't know. I feel like if that's all it is, it's going to be disappointing.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I'd say we're both keen. What I did read the other day is that there's already four more sequels.
I was going to bring that up just to really annoy you. Yeah, what do you feel about that? This is going to be like... Was it four? I thought there was really, five. Or maybe there's five,
I think,
series.
Yeah,
so
four more.
First of five. Yeah.
Yeah. Bloody annoys me, man.
Yeah. Yeah, same. That really shits
me. It's like, just let it come out, see how it does. Even if this was your plan all along, don't announce it before it comes out. That is just so arrogant and cynical and money-grabbing to me. It's like, we're going to make five of these and you're going to see them all, and we're going to make heaps of money from them. Just bothers me. And it means... that you're maybe not necessarily trying to make the best film out of the first one, because you know you have all these others to like string the stuff together.
And yeah, exactly.
It just irks me.
And it's just like, it takes away any excitement of any of the reveal of any further. Like, if this is great and we all love it, then like you don't get that buzz like when they announce a sequel and it's really exciting.
Yeah.
Well, what's it going to be? It's like, great. Exactly. We know now there's a plan for the next fucking 10 years or whatever to have one every 2 years, and there's going to be a trailer released like this date
That's
every
right.
year or whatever. It's just,
fuck,
go away.
Yeah, I agree. Everyone's doing it now, and it's just, you're right. It sucks the magic out of it for sure.
Yeah.
And that's no pun intended.
Another negative note to end on. Even now, I hate the film even more. Can we just not do it on the podcast?
I want it to be good. I don't know.
Yeah,
we'll see.
We will.
We'll see. I kind of I don't know. I feel like J.K. Rowling is pretty smart about this stuff, so I feel like she would be nurturing it. But I don't know. We'll see.
I hope so.
Witches live among us.
We've lived in the shadows for too long. I ask all of you, who does this protect? Us or them?
Danger. He senses danger.
This is related to Grindelwald's attacks in Europe. This could mean war.
We got a plan, right, guys?
They need our help.
everything that came out of the case.
Okay, thanks everyone for listening. Just a little thank you halfway through the episode. Just thanks for sticking by. We're going to talk about some Dolittle Beastie Boys now. Fantastic Beastie Boys. Scurrying about. Being naughty in New York City. And we had a few reservations about this one when we were talking about the trailer. And that it might seem a bit muddled, a bit too much CGI. But we were kind of okay with it being not as connected to Harry Potter and being somewhat of its own sort of thing.
Yep.
So what did you think of this return to the Wizarding World, written by J.K. Rowling herself?
Yeah.
Yeah. What did you think?
I really didn't like this film, John. I think our worries from the trailer were bang on the money. Like I really struggled. To be fair, when it first began, when the music kicked in and even sort of like the opening shots of New York looked really cool, and I was like pumped. I was in a mood to really like it. I wasn't sitting there looking to find faults at all. But yeah, as it progressed, I just grew less and less interested. And to be honest, this is one of the least enjoyable sort of big movies I've seen in a long time. Like, I was actively bored and confused through a lot of it and sort of checking my watch as to when it was going to end because I just did not care. I don't know. I think you were completely right in terms of being worried that the trailer didn't show any plot because I didn't even know what was going on for half the time because I think sort of nothing is going on for half the time. Like, the film sort of just consists of Eddie Redmayne bumbling about chasing dumb creatures around for no reason other than to put them back in a suitcase. And then there's some overarching plot with some bad villain you see at the beginning destroy some people at a gate that has no consequence to anything. I just did not care in the slightest. And also we were so on the money about the CGI and stuff as well. I feel like it was the worst example of I mean, some of it did look cool, like the old, period New York, like sort of design of it felt quite cool, even if it did feel a little CGI-ish. I liked being in that world and I did like that it was different to the Harry Potter world, but in terms of the action and it was just so CGI heavy, so much meaningless destruction all the time. And actually, that was the other thing that really annoyed me is just the utter lack of internal logic in this film. None of it made sense. And it actually made me question my enjoyment of the original Harry Potter films because I haven't seen them for so long. And I was watching this, I started to get worried that if I rewatched them, that there would be this complete disregard for logic, because even the logic, like laws of the magic world, I didn't understand in this film. Like, they seemed to just make shit up as it went along, and it really, really annoyed me. So yeah, that's basically what I thought, John. I really, really disliked Fantastic Beasts. What about you? How did you feel?
Yeah, I mean, I wish we could have a big debate, but. Yeah, man, I agree. I was incredibly disappointed by this. And I had the exact same experience of when it first started and hearing that familiar chime, you know, the magical Harry chime, and the title treatment is the same. And I was like, okay, we're back. This is cool. Let's go on a new adventure.
Totally.
It didn't take long. Like, 10 minutes, I think.
As soon as, I think it's like that bank scene, right? With the stupid little platypus idiot. And then it's just, like, logic just stops working there. You know, like, he uses magic for some things and not for other things. And it's just like, what's happening?
Yeah. And it was that thing of, like, I didn't want to admit it straight away to myself. You know, so I kept, like, giving it chances in my head. I was like, well, you know, it's not great, but it's probably going to get good after this. And then, you know, it just... You start to like sink down in your seat and it's like, oh dear. It's just, the disappointment washes over you. I agree. I think it's just such a shame because,
it is.
I may have said this in the trailer thing too. Like, I my trust was in J.K. Rowling as well as the, you know, the creator of this universe.
Yeah.
That she should know how to protect it and how to keep the stories pure and good and workable. Not workable. What's the word I'm looking for? Easy to understand. You know what I mean? Like,
because
that's what Harry Potter is. And you know, it sucks that you sort of question, like, if I rewatch them, would this sort of problems pop up?
Mm.
Because they don't. I don't think, like, they're good, and yeah. she wrote good stories there. But the thing is, and it's, you know, I just want to, like, unleash.
Yeah,
but
do it.
They're like based on her books, but she got final approval on the scripts, but she didn't write the scripts. And she wasn't even co-writer, as far as I know. She just had approval, and obviously could suggest things. But man, like, this is George Lucas syndrome, I think, where everyone was too scared to tell her, like, "Hey, can you do another draft of this?" Because it's kind of like a weird fan book where it's like a bunch of different things happening that are loosely connected to Harry Potter, and obviously are going to become more and more connected as we go on. But there's no central story, you know, which is, as you said, is what we're worried about. Like, Newt is a nothing character.
Everyone's a nothing character. Like,
yeah, everyone is.
Any character development that happens in this film other than what's her name's sister falling for the fat comedy dude. Like,
yeah, and even that is like, you know, we came out of it and it was like, has she not seen a man before? Like, why did she fall in love with him? He doesn't do anything special other than not have magic powers.
Yeah, exactly.
And if we're going to be really superficial, he's not like the most attractive looking man in the world either. Like,
yeah,
I just, and he thought about having sex with her and she knew that, like, you know, that weird scene
she's
like, most men think about what, seeing you naked and like having sex with you, and you, why is that good? Yuck.
Yeah, weird.
Anyway, I don't want to get too in the weeds about specific things like that, but I'll try and keep it, you know, broad for the moment. But yeah, it was disappointing, and I agree, way too long. Every scene, every action set piece goes on for too long with mindless kind of CGI stuff. The creatures themselves aren't even that magical this time around. I feel like the stuff we got introduced to in Harry Potter had a real awe and sort of mystery to it, and this is just like weird, like a big rhino with a round thing on its head and a little, like, this is the other thing. Okay, where, sorry to anyone listening, this is just a rant, but what, the thing that stole the money, like,
yeah,
is that a magical creature or just a platypus thing?
Well, you know, yeah, like, I don't know, platypus with a magical fucking pouch that it can just cram like tons of gold into or whatever.
It's not, like, that magical, you know, like, the, at least that other thing could be invisible, like, that's kind of magical, that little shaggy dickhead. No, I shouldn't say that. I don't want to be cynical,
though,
but,
like, and
yeah,
oh yeah, I don't know, like, you're right, the creatures aren't even that interesting or you know, yeah, I don't know, there's no point to their magical abilities or anything. They're just these rando creatures that are out, like you said, not just looking weird for the most case. Yeah. But I don't know, there needed to be more justification for him wanting to get them back into his case if that's what your entire fucking 2.5 hour film is going to hinge on. Like, yeah, okay, he wants these creatures back. Like, Jesus Christ, that is the weakest excuse for a story I've ever heard.
Yeah.
Seriously.
And it seems to me so easy to make this more of a very straightforward narrative about Newt coming, like, a British wizard coming to America. And isn't that such a good setup? We've seen the British side of things with Harry Potter. Let's explore what it's like in America. And they just, like, it's not about him. He features a lot in it. He says about 5 lines the whole movie. But Like, it baffles me that you don't start with him on the boat. Like, I keep getting sidetracked. Why does he catch the boat?
Yeah, I know. Like, it's Jesus.
But anyway, ignore that. Like, start with him on the boat. Start with him on the boat, looking at New York from a distance and, like, clutching his thing, and it rattles a bit. And
well, then, yeah, that did happen, though, right? I mean, that literally happened.
No, no.
Because he's, like, on the thing, holding his thing, and he's, like, tells it to be quiet or whatever.
Yeah, but I mean, like, don't have the prelude with all the newspapers and, like...
Right, I get what you're saying.
Spend, like, 15 minutes on the boat.
Yeah,
like, not just one shot. Don't rush it. Like, so we get to know him, and, like, he has an awkward encounter with someone on the boat, and they're like, hey, watch it, I'm American, or something.
Well, yeah, exactly. Like,
so then we're with him, just like we're with Harry, and... Instead of going to Hogwarts, we're going to New York, and it's this weird place.
Yeah, everything's and different. The slowly, he starts to...
Yeah, exactly. But it rushes. It rushes through everything. It rushes an introduction to him, so we've got nothing. And then he's, like, so shut off and quiet. And I like the performance is good, but it just doesn't work for a main character in this kind of movie.
I totally agree. Yeah.
It just... Like,
I don't know. And it's
I feel like it's so like easy.
Exactly. It seems like there's so many obvious reasons to make that the whole creature plot more interesting. Like, I mean, one, they almost seem to set up that it's illegal to have the creatures so that the wizarding police would want to kill the creatures or capture them before him. There you go. I mean, it's not the best, but at least it's kind of like a conservation message about trying to save these creatures, which he keeps fucking harping on about. But then there's like, there's no threat. No one else is after
him. Nothing supports that.
Exactly. Yeah, he just walks around and goes, oh, there's another one. Let's walk over there for another 20-minute scene of rolling around on the ice with a fucking rhino for no reason. Like, there's no drama. There's no tension. There's no, like, he's not racing against the clock for anything. There's
Yeah.
I mean...
It's just meandering.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Sorry.
No.
We're both just, like, overflowing.
Because I'm getting angry.
No, but I feel the same way. Me and Soph were, talking about this. And, you know, I think in the trailer, maybe we talked about my wife, Sophie, being such a big fan of Harry Potter and loving the books and all that stuff. She was so disappointed by this as well.
Oh, really?
Which makes me feel... vindicated. Although, you know, broadly speaking, it's not getting slammed.
I know, I find that strange. It's making a shit ton of money as well. Like, it's, which I guess was inevitable, but you'd think that the critical response would be a bit harsher than it is.
Yeah, I think people, maybe again, like Star Wars, people are just enjoying being in that world, or even the Hobbit movies.
Mm.
And then as time goes on, it will be like, a realization for lots of these fans, perhaps, that it's just not that great a movie. Or I don't know. Anyway, that's cut that shit out. That's not
well. But I think you're right, and I think the Hobbit films are an interesting comparison. But I don't know. Maybe this is just because I'm more of a fan of the Lord of the Rings universe. But I feel like at least you can feel the Hobbit films try. Like I don't, you know, like.
Yes.
And I don't think they're great films, and I'm not going to stick up for them and say they're amazing or anything, but they're okay, whereas I think this is, like, sort of actively bad, you know? Like, it's just bad storytelling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, okay, so the other thing, which is weird to me about this movie, and I didn't like, was, you know, it's like we're coming into the fifth Harry Potter movie, suddenly, where all this political stuff is happening, and it's incredibly dark, but we haven't built up to that.
Yeah.
There's no sense of wonder or magic anymore. And I know everyone's seen Harry Potter and we kind of know the rules of this universe, but this is something I hate that sequels or prequels do that come out after there's been time from a franchise is I think filmmakers should always be making a movie like no one knows what's going on and I have to introduce people to this world.
Yep.
I can't just assume that everyone has seen Harry Potter, even though most people have. And that's why you need to introduce the world again and give us that sense of magic and wonder.
Yeah.
And then layer on, like layer on. You don't start at 10, you know what I mean? It just makes for a bad movie. And that's what it is here. It starts at 10 and it never stops in terms of five different storylines at once and all this political stuff that you've got to follow. And it's just like, why? I don't care about any of this. I don't know what any of this means. You haven't introduce me to the world and made me care about the consequences. I'm just looking at information in front of me, you know, which Star Wars did as well in the prequels. And it just really bugs me. And then on top of that, you've got these horrific sequences of like this Salem witch group or whatever.
Where
it's suddenly a horror movie. And I actually, you know, individually like the filmmaking in those scenes, but it was way, way off what should have been in this movie, totally. I think. That was like, J.K. Rowling obviously had this idea, I think, of like, imagine what it was like for witches and wizards back then.
You're right. And that,
you know,
like,
and that's a cool idea.
Exactly. I thought that watching the film, I was like, oh, imagine if they actually set it back during like the witch trials and stuff. Like, that would be cool. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think she had that idea. I mean, I'm putting, you know.
Yeah.
I'm making up, you know, her motivations now, but that felt like a totally different idea to me. That was like, oh, I'll chuck that in here because we need this strange climax to come out of nowhere. That's about Ezra Miller hiding his powers, and I mean, that just came out of nowhere, and then we get 40 minutes. It felt like of them like pleading with this cloud, like, please calm down, trust me, no, trust me.
Yeah, Jesus.
And you're just like, I don't care. And then he gets shot, and it looks terrible, and you see his weird face in the middle of it, and it's just like, what?
Oh, it's so dumb. But you're right. And I think like tonally those scenes are so wrong for, I mean, I guess the final Harry Potter films got pretty dark, but you're right. This doesn't build
fine.
To it.
But
even to that extent, I felt like, you know, when the violence of that thing that attacks people, I don't even know what the fuck it's called. The little misty black cloud.
Yeah. Like, Obscurus or something?
Yeah,
or
I think you're right, Obscurus. When that attacked at the sort of political lunch or, you know, introduction to of that senator guy, and it, like, lifted him up into the air and then slammed him down on the ground, I audibly just went, fuck, like, in the cinema, because it was so violent. And then you see his, like, deformed face, and it's just, Jesus Christ, like, kids are coming to see these films, like, that was full on, you know. I just,
totally.
It just felt so out of place and so misguided, which I guess is
I agree.
You know, accurate for the entire film. Like, everything just nothing seems to really fit.
Yeah, there's no overall direction or through line. You know, and that's a problem for J.K. Rowling and for David Yates. You know, and I just think he needs to just make a horror movie and just get that shit out of his system. Because he's really good at it. Like, those last couple of Harry Potter films, there was genuinely frightening stuff in that. And, like, visually, he's so good in these dark sort of atmospheres. I'd love to see him make a horror movie and just, like, I don't mind it in fantasy. I don't mind it in these stories. Mm. But you've got to know how to introduce it and just, like, having Newt, like, roll around in the ice and then cutting to these children being beaten.
Yeah,
you know, it's just
exactly.
Like, what is going on here?
Yeah.
This was another, like, what moment to me was that scene where he, Kowalski, the nomad, the muggle, is, like, just, he's, like, playing with the perfume for some reason.
Why did he even give him the perfume?
Yeah, like, why does he have it? And then secondly, Otter or something throws something at him.
Like, is that like,
was that
bizarre?
A magical otter or a normal?
I think
what
it was
that otter doing
from the zoo? I think.
Do they throw things? Is that what they do? Why did that happen? Did it run off? Like, I could see that in the script. You know what I mean? And it's like, why didn't anyone say, like, where does this otter? Like, I know the zoo's been broken out, but why does an otter throw that? That doesn't make sense. That's just like, that's too,
so dumb.
Way too convenient just to get this action scene.
Well, it's like, I mean, I think that's like a problem with the entire film. And one of the worst examples I thought was the ending. And like, after this like mass destruction, then all of a sudden, old mate's just like, oh, this glowing blue shit I squeezed out of a fucking bug before. Oh, by the way, one of the properties of the venom is that it fucking makes people forget shit. Let's get the bird to fly up in the sky because I guess it can make fucking rain and somehow it'll like seed it in through all the clouds. But then like...
Yeah.
Like, how does that fucking work? Like, if you're not standing in the rain, you're not going to get like... Mm. The effect's not going to happen. But then it shows people, like, drinking water and having a shower. And it's like, well, how fucking quickly does the rainwater get into the pipes? Like, that doesn't make any sense. But then old mate is, like, the only dude in the city that was, like, under shelter. And he didn't get... I don't know. It just fucking pissed me off so much. It was, like, such a bullshit, get-out-of-jail-free, garbage storytelling moment.
Oh. Yeah, it's just, like... You know, and this is the thing, like, I don't want to be 100% negative because I think there's some good concepts in there. It just felt like it needed a few more drafts to, like, trim the fat and to make it more cohesive. Mm. I'm not against that idea of the rain and stuff if you've earned that as a romantic ending almost. Yeah, totally. You know, like, but it comes out of nowhere. And, you know, at first I was like, okay, it's not literally the rain. It's sort of like mixing with that to create an atmosphere.
Yeah, yeah.
But then he's just standing under shelter. And so that doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
And there's lots of things like that. Like, you know, as we said, there's a way to do Newt losing the animals and for it to be a fun, magical adventure through 20s New York or something.
Yeah, totally. 30s.
There's a way to slowly introduce the political stuff and that there's talk of this... you know, Johnny Depp wizard around, but none of it comes together and it's all feels like half baked. And so nothing invested me. And the stuff that did get me was the tiny things that reminded me of Harry Potter. Like when they go to the underground bar and there's like a, gremlin there and they talk to him, but gremlin. So they are, I don't know. Then I don't think they're gremlins. But, you know, it's like, oh, okay, here's a hidden bar. And, you know, they go to her apartment and the laundry is, like, drying itself in front of the fireplace. All that stuff is cool. I love that stuff. And there's hardly any of that in it. And maybe that's just specific to me. Maybe I wanted some of that wonder and they just weren't interested in delivering that. But then I think, what are you trying to say with this movie? What are you trying to do? Yeah. Who's it for? Like... I guess it's for the people that grew up with Harry Potter, so that's why it's centered more to adults. Mm. But then it's got lots of silly stuff in it as well, you know? It's just, yeah, very, very messy.
Yeah, like that was my initial thought as well, that it, because I feel like the books, well, I haven't read all the books, but the films, based on the films, that series was very good at sort of following the age range of the readers as they progressed. And so the first book and film is quite childish and fun, whereas the last one's, you know, quite dark and politically heavy. So initially I thought this was kind of like even the next step in that sort of progression, and that it would be like quite a heavy political dark film that's almost aimed at teenagers to adults. But you're totally right, like it does not back that up, like, and it just ends up being all over the place. But okay, we're being super negative. Is there anything else that you that you liked about it other than the little wizarding touches that reminded you of the original films? No. I like the casting. I agree with you. I really like Eddie Redmayne, and that's another reason though I was really on board. Like, I like his kind of awkward weirdness. I find that really endearing, and I thought he was a good fit for the film. If they'd fucking done something with him. Like, he's such a... I mean, even though he's odd, he's such an immediately sympathetic character, I feel like. Like, he's so awkward and sort of out of his depth. Like, it would have been so easy to make him a likeable guy that has to find his way in this big New York wizarding world.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm getting back into fucking criticism again. But I guess I like him, and I was excited because I didn't realise Samantha Morton was in it. So when she popped up on screen as, like, the creepy witch-hunting woman, I thought that was cool. And I think we talked about it in the trailer, like, Ezra Miller, I like him, even if none of them actually, like the actual characters in the film, ended up being much. I think the casting was strong.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, for sure. I think everyone does a really good job in it.
Like with what they're given up with, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it's just a shame.
Yeah.
Yeah. What did you think of the big reveal, the Johnny Depp reveal, and all that?
I couldn't give a fuck. I almost laughed. Like I was like, "What the hell? What is Johnny Depp doing here?" Like I mean, I guess that was like the setup at the beginning, but I like literally didn't know what the fuck was going on at that point. So I was just like, "Who was that? The guy from the start?" And then kind of just shrugged.
Yeah.
I was like, "Get off the screen!" So I want to get out of this cinema. Couldn't have cared
less. I totally agree.
Yeah,
I thought that was really poorly handled. Again, it's just like it's relying on people either reading before they go into the movie or instantly knowing who this Grindelwald
is. That set up in the previous films and books? Like, is that someone we should know? Or is that's new for this series?
I think he's like mentioned once in the books.
Right, okay.
You know, all the press leading up to this and all that kind of stuff is like, hell yeah, he's the new bad guy or whatever. But the movie does such a poor job. Like, they say his name a lot, but other than that little thing at the start, you don't know really why he's a threat or who he is.
What even was going on at the start there? Like, you mean that very opening shot or whatever of those wizards approaching that?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, he's blowing up stuff. So he's bad. Yeah. And then I also felt like it made Colin Farrell's character like pointless. Almost.
Totally.
You know what I mean? It's just like, oh, okay, the nothing he said like was really what he was saying, or he's trying to work the system. I don't know. It's just like, and it's again, it's this thing of like magical. Like, did no one sense that he was in disguise? True. Like, don't you have something in the ministry that like. You can't walk through into this secret like meeting.
Walking around with like the president. Most powerful, you know, wizards in the country, and no one even bothered to notice that it was someone else. That's a good point.
Yeah, exactly.
But like, I think that Colin Farrell's character is a really great example. Like, by the end, when they were sort of having that showdown, I was so confused as to what his motivations were and whether...
Oh, yeah, me too.
I was like, am I meant to be hating him right now, or am I meant to switch to his side? And, like, is he now sort of fighting for good, but in a way that contradicts what... Like, I literally had no fucking idea what was going on in that end scene and what viewpoints people represented. And then when that reveal, I was just like, I'm out, man. Like, I don't know what's happening here. Just...
Yeah.
Like, even with the reveal and him being the villain, like, what the fuck was his plan? Like, what was his endgame?
Yeah, what was he doing? Yeah, I don't know. I can't... Like, I need to see it again to figure that out, but I don't want to see it again.
Yeah. Like, oh, it's just such a mess, man.
And yeah, it's all this seed planting too, right? Like, oh, there's a boy you have to find. I had a... prophecy of a boy, you know, to Ezra Miller.
Oh, that's right.
Meetings that he has.
And
it goes nowhere, obviously leading up to some sequel stuff.
That's so weird. And he gives Ezra Miller that necklace. Like, what the fuck did that have to do with anything? Like,
That
never came back.
Yeah.
Endless
all that stuff.
Seeds that go nowhere.
Yeah. And I don't care if it's going to be answered in future films. Like, it's just bad storytelling. And I think really, J.K. Rowling shouldn't have written a screenplay. It's her first screenplay, and doesn't matter how successful you are, it's a different type of writing and storytelling. And, you know, I still respect her heaps and really, you know, I think she seems very nice. And she's super intelligent and stands up for a lot of good stuff and all that. But, like, you can't just do that and think it's going to work, you know what I mean? Like, you got to... I'm just disappointed that there wasn't a co-writer or someone to steer her in the right direction for that, because who's going to say no to her now? Like the famous J.K. Rowling, like, here's my script. Oh, this is amazing. Yeah, let's do it. It's just like, it's annoying. Yeah. It's the same thing that happened to George Lucas.
Do you know if she's writing the next four of these?
She is.
On her own, like there's no one else involved?
Well, I don't know. The next one, she's writing by herself. I know that at the moment.
Right.
And David Yates is directing them all, which I don't have as much of a problem with. Like, it's hard to say. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Because I still think he's a pretty good director, but... And I feel like he's almost in that position of not being able to hone things perhaps as much as he wants, because if you cut this, that's like offensive to...
To the guy that is now Harry Potter in film form. Like, he's, you know, the one guy that understands the Harry Potter universe filmically, and J.K. Rowling's like the one person that understands like the literary. So they're together, they're like the perfect storm of like no one being able to touch their...
Exactly. Their work. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, man. That does not bode well. Like, coming out of this, I was in no way interested to see another one. I was...
I felt the same way. Felt the same way.
I mean, we say that now, but then, you know, 2 years' time, there'll probably be all this press about how they learnt from the first one, and this one's like...
No, they always do,
And then it'll be the exact same shit again.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, well. Let's leave it there. I'm glad...
We could go on.
I'm glad you felt the same way, actually. I wasn't sure how negative you'd be on it. I thought you might be a bit more lenient, but I'm glad I'm not the only one that felt like it was really bad.
Yeah, no, yeah, it was exactly like you said, like just waiting for it to be over by the end. Listening to this episode of the Pre-Post Film Review. We'd love to hear what you guys thought about Fantastic Beasts. And please, if you liked it, really tell us why. And I know we sort of went ranty this episode, but that doesn't mean that we're closed to hearing why people liked it. And I don't know. If I could have my mind changed, I would like that.
Yeah, that'd be great. To
enjoy this. So anyway, you can email us at prepostfilmreview@gmail.com.
Yeah, that'd be cool. We're also on Twitter if you want to follow us there. We post sort of news stories and links to new episodes once they go live. We're on Facebook, so you can give us a like there as well, and comment and interact with us there if you feel like it. But the most important thing is to subscribe. We're on iTunes or any sort of podcasting platform that you could be listening on. So we'd appreciate it if you subscribe to us there, or perhaps leave a little review if you like the show. That would be awesome.
That would be great. You can also follow us on Letterboxd, which is a great little film community website that lets you log and track and review movies that you've seen. And it's an awesome little community. So you can follow us there. The links to all this stuff is in the show notes for every episode. Join us next episode as we'll be talking about the David Lynch film Blue Velvet, which is getting a re-release in the UK. Is that right,
Matt? Yes, so we'll be back in cinemas here in a couple of weeks, which is exciting.
Yeah, and I haven't seen that, so we thought it'd be a great chance to talk about a slightly older movie and talk about that. So it should be interesting.
Definitely, I'm excited. Definitely.
Yeah. Talk about Dolittle Beastie Boys.
Oh.